Hey everyone, welcome to this Fun Friday episode. I am really excited to announce that we finally have a winner for the 2024 Literary Escape March Madness event. And I just want to take a moment to thank you all for participating. It's always been so much fun each week watching your votes come in. And this year's winning series is the Carton series by Tamara Alexander. Those of you who voted for the championship series were entered to win the Carton series. And the lucky winner is Julie Lessman. So congratulations, Julie. I will send you an email to get shipping information and or information on how to send you the ebooks. So thank you all for joining in on the fun, and I am looking forward to next year's March Madness. Authors, if you want to learn how to use Scrivener's tools to increase your writing productivity, join us on Wednesday, April 3rd from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as author Liz Tolzma shows us the ins and outs of Scrivener. This training is free for HCRW members and $17 for non-HCRW members. You can register with the link in this blog post at www.literscape.com/podcast/110. Our next coffee and books event will be on Saturday, April 20th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us for a live Q&A and discussion with authors Karen Whitmire, Sarah Sundin, and Jody Basie. You can sign up for this free event with the link in this blog post. Authors, we have an exciting mini online HCRW conference coming the week of May 6th. Author Crystal Cottle will be providing a one-hour workshop on how to plot your magnet reader. And then following her session, there will be a small group work session where participants can plot their magnet reader with Crystal. Then Misty Embeller will provide a one-hour workshop on building your email list and newsletter subscribers. Following her session, there will be a small group work session where participants can develop their email and newsletter plan with Misty. And finally, I will offer a one-hour workshop on how to use Canva as an author. And my session will also be followed by a small group session where participants can create images on Canva with my assistance. So stay tuned for dates, times, and registration information. Now let's jump into this week's book discussion. Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, guys, we are back this week to discuss the final book in Lynn H. Blackburn's Dive Team Investigation series. It's One Final Breath. Revenge has no statute of limitations. When investigator Gabe Chavez had his cover blown by an aggressive reporter, the silver lining was being able to rejoin the dive team. The downside, Dive Team Captain Anissa Bell, a woman who both fascinates and frustrates him. Anissa grew up as a missionary kid on the Micronesian island of Yap, and always planned to return after college, but she remained stateside, determined to solve the case that haunts her, the murder of her best friend and the disappearance of a three-year-old child. When Anissa's fractured past collides with Gabe's investigation into the tragic shooting death of a teenage boy in Lake Porter, they'll have to put aside their complicated history with each other in order to uncover the killer's identity. This was a good one, don't you think? So let's talk about Mr. Cook. We didn't talk about him much in the last series, but he pops back up here in the third. He's pretty, has a pretty strong presence here. Mm-hmm. Did you like how he talked to God?
Yes.
I love it. I remember when we talked about the first book a couple of weeks ago, you talked about how you had, was it Dwight?
Dwight. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how he's just like that. He'll just be like, you're in a conversation and all of a sudden you realize, oh, he's talking to God right now.
I mean, we always say God is always with us. Yeah, we say that, but not a lot of people talk to him like he's always with us.
Yeah.
And Mr. Cook does.
I loved how I loved it. And the way he just holds those conversations, like you said, like he's right there, which he is. It's just sometimes we forget that. And then I think she put in a great reminder that we are not the judge and juror. We are on the witness stand for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I put, do you struggle with this too? I'm like, yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is. And sometimes there are little quick judgments that we just make. Like when you just look at the appearance of someone and you're like, boom, I have a preconceived notion in our head. But
yeah. Like you almost feel scolded because it is, you know, it's that reminder that when we are judging like that, that's part of what separates us from being the people, like from the people that aren't following. Like we're supposed to be non-judgmental and like Jesus. And
I will say like that and the gossip stuff, because as women, I think we fall prey to that pretty easily. It's something that I pray for like daily. And I can already tell like daily, it's just so much easier to avoid the judgments.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, when I get off out of my routine, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my word, I've just been like judgy and gossipy. You know what I mean? So I have to like really be on it. All right. On page 115, let me read a little bit description here. This is Gabe coming out of surgery. Okay. Gabe had expected heaven to be more harmonious. All he heard were beeping noises, and it was not going to be cool if he had to listen to them for eternity. He also expected there'd be no pain in heaven, but he hurt. So this was not heaven? He's trying to like get himself to wake up. Did that scene remind you of Bo in Lori Copeland's book, The Drifter? Did you read that book?
Yes, it did. I was trying to remember the scene. I did read that one.
Okay,
it was
his
so
was
cute.
Even funnier. I thought Bo's was funnier, but this one was funny too. It totally took me back there because you remember, like,
I feel like Bo spoke more, didn't he?
Bo thought when he woke up, do you remember those two Indian ladies?
Yeah.
Were taking care of him, and they like had heated the cabin super hot because they were like trying to like sweat it out of him. And they had him wrapped super tight. And so he's like, this is like the lake of fire, right? Uh-huh. And then he can't move. Okay. And the Indian ladies are talking in a different language. So he's thinking like, I'm really in hell right now. Like, I don't know. And they're calling him a different name. And he's like, he goes, oh, there's been a mix up. That's not my name.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I remember now. Yeah.
Until he finally gets out of his like feverish state.
Yeah.
You know,
and then he realizes what's going on.
He's like, oh, I'm not in hell.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty funny. All right. Okay. This is another thing that made me laugh. So Gabe's getting irritated because there's this male nurse that's kind of flirty with Anissa. And Gabe can hear them around him, but he can't like respond yet because he's still under the anesthesia. And so he just labeled this nurse Deep Voice. He never called him by his real name.
Uh-uh.
He always just called him Deep Voice, even when he woke up.
Yeah.
And he has to get up and start, you know, walking. You know how they make you get up and walk, you know. So Anissa's walking with him, and he said, Gabe was thinking, let me see, because his thinking is going to be a lot better than me trying to like rehash it. Because you know Gabe, he's just a humorous guy here. They didn't talk as they passed one door and then the next. Gabe would be eternally grateful to Deep Voice for helping him get into a pair of shorts while Anissa was out of the room. At least he didn't have to worry about flashing her and the entire seventh floor as he walked. I laughed because I've been there. after my last surgery, they were like, okay, you have to like get up and start. It was several hours after surgery, but they're like, you have to get up and do a couple laps around our the level that you're on or the section you're in. And Derek was helping me, but I was like, I like my stretchy sweatpants, something. Because, you know, the gown's just open in the back. And I'm like, Derek, and, you know, Derek, he's very protective. He goes, oh, yes, we are. You're not going to be flashing other people. That's for me. You know. And I was like, thank you, because how embarrassing to be.
Yeah.
It's already embarrassing enough for us women up top, because it's not like you're not allowed to wear a bra.
Yeah.
And I don't go anywhere with that. So I'm always like,
I mean,
you know, like,
I don't necessarily have a problem, but
okay,
but yeah,
some of us have that problem,
yeah,
Jamie.
But no, it is, it's uncomfortable. I just got to throw a t-shirt on. No one, sorry,
you're so funny.
Oh my goodness.
Don't apologize. Sometimes I wish I could do that.
Oh, but, goodness, yeah, until you're at the store with your daughter and they think she's the mom and she's a you know, a teenager. She's like, yeah, young lady. And I'm like, child, you have to go home with me.
Yeah.
Like, no more joking.
Right. That's right.
Oh, man.
But it's kind of nice to think you look young enough that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's nice, really, but nice. Sometimes it's not fun.
I've always been, everyone thought I was older than what I was. When I worked at the church camp, I think I was like 14 or, I don't know, I was a teenager at the time. And they had campers in, and one of the guys I worked with said, stopped a kid and goes, how old do you think she is? Like 22. I'm like, I was like 6 or 7 years older than what I really was. And I'm like,
wow,
I'm like the same age as you, man. But
yeah,
it is when a woman develops that they tend to think you're older than what you really are.
Yeah. But
when I was younger, I was like, well, heck, I could go places and do things then, you know?
Yep.
Now I'm like, I'm always happy when they think I'm younger than what I am. Anyways, a little off topic there, but yeah. I loved that because I've been there, done that.
Yeah. And it showed the vulnerability. Like, it's going back to that scene, it showed Gabe's vulnerability. Like, he's just this big, tough, quirky, ornery guy. Like, you wouldn't think, oh, I actually flashed someone. Ha ha. Like,
I know.
But just to have that vulnerable moment where it's like, I don't want to flash anybody. It's like, aw, it was just cute to me.
Yeah. Because he's such a flirt, too. Mm-hmm. All the ladies want Gabe, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
All right. What did you think of Gabe's description of his mom always looking for the next man to solve her problems?
It hurt my heart for him. Like, it's a common thing kind of now, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, and not even just picking on girls or boys. Like, we are, as humans, constantly, especially if you don't have God sometimes, it's like we are constantly looking for someone to take care of us and just extreme experiences where you, and I know a lot of kids, and there's a lot of people that I are closely related to where their mom just is in that
cycle of, oh, well, that man left me. Now
let me find someone else. And instead of being independent, and it makes me sad because it's like, you get so mad at the mom. Like, I can't believe you put your kids through this, but it hurts my heart for the mom too, because to think that they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
To think that they have to have that somebody.
Mixed
feelings
gonna,
on it.
And the next guy's going to solve all my problems, right? And the problem is you're with the wrong guy in the first place. But because you don't fix yourself, you carry that in and you just go to the next wrong guy.
Yeah.
It's just really heartbreaking to see that cycle. I see it all the time at school. And it's like, it's just really sad. And our poor kids bear the brunt of that. But how often do we project our fear about what might happen and then miss out? Because this is something that they're struggling with, right? I think this happens all the time because I've done it many times myself.
It's basically me. Like, oh, that hits hard. Because, like, you start thinking, I'm kind of socially awkward anyways, until you get to know me, and then then I don't shut up. But just going, like, even doing things, it's just, fear of what could happen or saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, just, it can paralyze me a lot. Sometimes I just don't do anything.
Yeah. So you're just like, I can't do it. I'm not even going to try.
It's not going to go.
Yeah. I did this once when I was a teenager, which is ridiculous, but I used to run track. I ran track 5th through 8th grade. And I'm not trying to be like, I don't know, vain or whatever, be prideful, but I was good at it. Okay. And my coaches were like, you're really good at this. Like, short distance, I'm a sprinter, not a long distance person. I hate long distance running. But anyways, But then I got like, I don't know, through middle school, it didn't bother me. But then I quit in high school. I didn't even try it in high school. Like I had this fear of like, I won't be able to compete at the high school level because I watched them. Right. And I'm like, they're so much better than even I, which they should be. They had like 3 or 4 years on me. Right.
Yeah.
I was still like working my way up. And it's like this, I don't think I can win it.
Mm-hmm.
And this other thing that comes up, and I don't know if other girls struggle with this. It's like, I feared that I would look silly or like how I would look while I'm running. Cause you know, when people are competing, like they're, you know what I mean? It's just a, and I didn't do it. I just quit it. Mm-hmm. And I always think back, like, where could I have gone with that if I would have continued it? Because I think it was a gift that God gave me at that time. Yeah. And I just kind of threw it away because I was afraid of what people would think of me while I was competing. And I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to be good enough.
You run now?
Well, I was a sprinter. I could run sprints now, but I did probably like 10 years ago. I did 5Ks a lot with some friends.
Okay.
But I hated long distance running.
Yeah.
That is not my thing.
I guess reason I, and cause like I, one of the things I do now, I sing on the side and we do a lot of shows. We do a lot of church services, excuse me, but we also do, you know, some secular music and non-secular, all of it. We sing at bars and you would never know because I didn't do that until my late 20s, mid 20s, because I was terrified. Like even going through high school, it's like you have that talent, but you're so afraid of what am I going to look like when I'm performing? How am I going to sound? I'm not good enough. But yeah. So I just ask if you ran still, cause you know, it's never too late.
I mean, I could go back and, but I think where would I sprint?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I do not like long distance.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm glad I did.
Used to do it. I'm like,
yeah. But yeah, but just don't ever give up. So I guess to our listeners too, like make sure like even though you had that opportunity then, because I was in my late 20s and I'm still doing it now, but things that I was so afraid of, like instead of like, I didn't let it go completely. So now it's like, I get to go and do those church services and meet new people. And so,
Yeah, you can always come back to it.
Never give up.
Yeah, you can always come back to it. All right. And then I have to laugh when they go back, they're like working in their office. And then Anessa makes this comment about a kid. We're going to end up kissing if you keep looking at me like that, Gabe.
Yeah.
I didn't expect her to be so bold. I don't know about you.
I didn't, but it was funny.
Oh, and then we talked about this with Lynn when we got to talk to her about this series, about how God calls us. She puts this little nugget in there. God calls us all to different callings, but all are important. And this is because Anissa struggles with, she comes from a missionary family and they're all, you know, working as missionaries around the world. And here she chose to be an investigator and she feels like that's not truly on mission for God, but it is.
Yeah.
And we, and Lynn's talked about like that's kind of came out of her own because her, I think her dad was a pastor and she just felt like, well, she had an engineering degree and then went into writing. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And so she just felt like she wasn't really what she liked to call it is like, it feels like your pastors and your missionaries are first string and we're second string.
Yeah.
But then we talked a lot about how God put us all exactly where he wanted us for this time. And we're rubbing shoulders with others and witnessing for him. So I love that. And then, okay, there is this.
Well, that whole idea though, like when she's like the first string, second string, I love like the way she describes things, but just that reminder that we all have our purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so common. I don't think any of us, and if you do, I'm not gonna say none of us do, but a lot of us struggle with feeling like you have a purpose. Like right now, I mean, I'm a children's librarian. Like I serve a purpose in those kids' life. You know, I'm a mom. I have teenage kids. I have all these things. But to feel like you're actually serving and making a difference is a struggle.
It is.
And
it,
you feel so inadequate. It's like, you know, I'm not doing great things like the person that got their degree or the person that is sharing God's word and doing all these things. And just to know that, you know, that reminder, God puts us, God knows where we're at. Like he put us here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it just goes back to that questioning, you know, his way of seeing it. Like we are not second string.
Right. Yeah. Right. We all serve a purpose for him. So, okay. Now this is going to sound a little off the wall for people if you haven't read the book yet, but how did you react to the DNA match?
I wasn't surprised.
I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I was like relieved and heartbroken at the same time.
Yes. And it was so random and like for the way it all. Yeah.
Well, yes. I think she would like to say like God orchestrated it, right? To all work out that way. But you're right. It was like, whoa, crazy. And what a roller coaster. And then
I don't think people think beyond like that DNA, people don't think beyond that match. And I think that's what the sad part is because you're just like, oh, found her.
Yeah.
And it's like, but now what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not a typical situation there at all. And then this revelation comes right after that, that when Gabe was undercover, Anissa had been sent in undercover to do a check-in with him and he called and got her off the assignment. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that? Did that surprise you? Not?
I was surprised. Like I understood it. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, but I think I was more like, why didn't they just talk about it? Like,
yeah. Why did he keep it a secret?
Which that's most books. I mean, if they communicate clearly, there wouldn't be a story, but
I think I knew why in this case, because at that time, Anissa was not in a place that he was relationship wise. Right.
Yeah.
Cause he came out and said, because I loved you.
Yeah.
And he knew what would happen to her. Cause it was not a good situation. And he was like,
but there was still an easy, cause he even said he told him not to send any female period.
He did. And that's why I said, I wasn't surprised because everything Gabe does is to protect the ones he loves.
Yes.
And protect those that he feels are, I don't want to say weaker, but need protected.
Well, he feels a responsibility.
Yes. Yeah. And he views women as I need to protect them. Mm-hmm. And he knew any woman coming in that undercover assignment was at a huge risk of assault.
Yeah.
And he's like, not on my watch. Right. And he knew if he were to jump in and stop the assault, then he would be found out and the whole case would be gone. So anyways, and then how did you react to Gabe telling Anissa that he loved her and then she didn't even respond?
So irritating. Like another one of those things like, oh, I get it. But like you couldn't have said something. And then I just wanted to hug Gabe.
I know.
It's okay. I'll tell you. I love you, Gabe. I'll tell you.
I do love you, Gabe. Yeah. Anyways, I did feel bad for him. Very frustrated with her. And then on page 247, she talks about how we often put our big God in a small box because we think we know what's best. And it's the worst when we do this because we end up buried in frustration and in a mess that we never would have gotten in if we would have just went to him first. Because it is absolutely, I'm always amazed and astonished at what he does when I just give him full rein.
Yeah.
Like, why don't I do this all the time? Why do I always revert back to, I'm going to do what I want?
Yeah.
Like
a
spoiled brat, you know?
Like, oh my God. Like we're children. It's just, it's funny. We are his little toddlers at times.
I know.
Sorry, Dad.
And then for Liz, how would you react if you were Liz and she's going through? I honestly would probably react the same way. I loved how Gabe handled her and helped her through it, but I probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah, it's hard. And like, I'm super empathetic. So like, a feeling that like a relating, like she was just a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was. What a wonderful, wonderful girl that in the end is blessed multiple times. Really.
Yeah. And there was so much respect for her birth parents.
Yeah.
So much. Like I couldn't even, it made my heart happy.
Yeah. I think the way she wrote that was wonderful, but I totally got her reaction, her initial reaction, you know?
And you're just sitting there wondering like, oh my gosh, what now? What now? Mm-hmm. And then that happens and you're like,
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of Gabe's proposal?
It was perfect for them.
It was. I said the same thing. Totally perfect for them. Absolutely perfect. Yep. Okay. All right. So how would you rate the following elements? What about the romance level?
Espresso.
Oh, there, but I not put in your mocha, face. And I think it's more because Gabe's so flirty.
Probably.
Suspense.
Latte.
I did latte too. Just putting in yours so I can write it on our blog post. Anyways, action.
I think I put latte.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I did too. Mystery.
Mocha latte.
Oh, I went latte on that. Yeah. I went latte on a lot of these for this one because I just felt like there was so much.
There was one statement, and I don't want to give it away, but there was one statement that came early in the book. Like, I don't know. The guy talks about how long he's been waiting.
Yes.
And that right there, like, it was good. You still couldn't have guessed it, but it was like, I knew it had nothing.
Because I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah. Like, it's the why. It was like, okay, well, it can't possibly have a lot to do with her, but why?
Right. And you don't know who it is, you know, all the way through till the end. But yeah, I do. I remember that statement and I thought, okay, but why?
Yeah.
Where's this coming from? So did we say mystery level?
Mocha latte.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I did latte on mystery. What about drama?
Latte.
I did too. Just that's, I say secondary storyline, but they actually just all kind of, they do weave together.
Yeah.
And yeah, I said latte on drama. What about inspiration?
Latte.
You did latte. I did mocha. Yeah. I thought it was great. I loved it. All right. What is your overall lasso rating of One Final Breath by Lynn H. Blackburn?
Three lassos.
I did three lassos too. Yep. Hooked and Hogtied. Yes. I read these, all three of these books actually really fast.
And I will be reading her next ones and I will be checking out her newsletter and.
Yes. Guys, yes.
Check out her stuff.
Next week is our interview with Lynn. And she said that if you sign up for her newsletter, there's like a free novella. Mm-hmm. Recipes,
Lee's recipes. Yeah. There's a novella that kind of ties some of her series together. Yes,
there's a novella that goes between this one and her Secret Service one, I believe.
Yep.
That has to do with the medical examiner in this series, which I'm like, ooh. Uh-huh. And then there's
the letters
between Gil and Ivy, which are part of her next series. The second series. I feel like, was there something else or was it those four? I can't think of them. We had a lot of great things that our listeners would love to, if you like.
And giveaways.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she did mention, you know, I mean, like recently we had the cell phone issues going down. We had Facebook and Instagram going down. She goes, the best way to stay in touch is newsletter because they really can't touch your email.
Yeah.
So I highly encourage you. You're going to love her interview, by the way, next week, because she was such a joy to talk to. Such down to earth person. So, so stay tuned for that next week. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider following our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, along with on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing. Thank you.